Well, Father, you're a great God. You're an awesome God. You're the only wise God. We bless you tonight and honor you and give you glory and praise. Thank you for how you've saved us. Thank you for how you've redeemed us. Thank you for how you've seated us in heavenly places in Christ. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, bless you, honor you, reverence you. Father, we give you all the glory tonight. You're the great and awesome God. As we stand before your word tonight, we realize that your word is life-changing. Your word is endued with power. Your word is dripping with the anointing. Your word has the answer to every problem we face, every ailment we have, every unsolved circumstance, scenario, or situation. Your word has the answer, has the perspective. Your word is filled with power tonight. And when we believe your word, when we mix your word with faith, it activates your very power. And so we thank you for the promises of your word. And we sit tonight, eager, expecting to receive tonight. We release you to your good work. And so change us, mold us, shape us, speak to us, strengthen us, correct us, encourage us tonight. Father, thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost, the divine encourager. Thank you for his ministry in our lives tonight. Thank you that he's the great teacher. He's the great guide. He's the counselor, the comforter, the divine encourager tonight. Now, like two tracks rails on a train track, Father, through the mighty word and through the Holy Ghost, lead and guide the rest of this service as you have the front part. Father, guide us and direct us into this aspect of the service. Speak to every heart. Speak to every life. Speak to every listening ear. Those listening at home, speak to every single one of them. Speak into every situation, every circumstance and scenario, as only you can. Father, guide and direct and help your people tonight. We'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. We thank you so much for our pastors here at Rhema, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We thank you for Craig and Denise, their families. We thank you so much for your encouragement and ministry through the word and spirit tonight. We'll give you all the glory for everything done in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Shake one more person's hand and you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, let's thank these frontline singers and musicians. And let's thank them all for leading us into the presence of God. Didn't they do a good job? Amen. I know you're shaking hands. Let's thank them again. Give them a big hand. Yeah. I'm particularly partial to that little lady playing the keyboard, one of those, you know, playing the keyboard over there. I'm particularly partial to her, my wife, Tony. All right. Well, God is good. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The title of tonight's message is Be Encouraged. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. Say that. Help me with that title. Be encouraged. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. Yeah. I want to start out with a video clip, and it's about 5 minutes, 37 seconds. That's a significant amount of time when you're just speaking about 30 minutes. But I think it's important to set up what we're going to say with the remaining time. So let's watch this video clip. It's from the movie Facing the Giants, and the coach has just announced that they're coming up against their big opponent, and the team doesn't believe they can win. And the coach is talking to a team who doesn't believe they can win, and he tries to motivate the most influential leader on the team. Let's take a look.
It's not even funny, dude.
Oh, it is. So, coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Need encouragement in our lives. Be encouraged. There is a divine encourager on the inside of you. We have so many people who are discouraged in the body of Christ, and yet one of the things that is necessary for the church at large and individual members in particular to thrive is encouragement. We live in such a negative world. There are so many negative people and negative situations, and there are so many people who are hurting, who have been through so many things. And we know the cause of all the negative things in the world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. He's a thief. He's a liar. Jesus said he was a murderer. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And in that process, people get hurt. But Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. Amen. And so this, we're talking about encouragement tonight because we all need to be encouraged at some point in our lives. I want to start in Romans 12, if you will, first. Romans 12, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if you will, verses 6 through 8. There is a gift of encouragement, and I think so many people in the body of Christ are sitting on this gift. I think there are millions and millions of people who are, they have a gift of encouragement in them, and they are sitting on this gift. Romans 12, 6 through 8 in the New Living gives us an idea. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing different things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. And if you are a teacher, teach well. And if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Did you see it there, verse 6? If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You can see that ministry gift there. Now, let me see. There's always a different little sound. I'm getting some reverberation up here. It's not bothering me if it's not bothering you. Can you hear me okay? Because I can switch mics if you can't. We're okay. Okay. So, listen, there is that gift. Now, I want to show you tonight, I want to show you a man in the scripture. Go to Acts chapter 4, who had this gift. And while you turn to Acts chapter 4, I want you to know, even, whether or not you have the gift of encouragement, you should be an encourager. God has called all of us to be encouragers. And then there are some people on top of that who have a gift of encouragement. And I think so many people sit on the gift. But whether or not you have that gift or not, don't sit back and say, well, I hope somebody steps forward and will fulfill that gift that he's talking about. I'm talking to you. Because whether you have the gift or not, God wants to use you to pour encouragement through you. There are so many people who are just like Brock. They're ready to give up. They're ready to quit. Or in their mind's eye, with their Christian walk, they feel like they can go to the 30, maybe to the 50. But with the encouragement of that coach, of his coach, he was able to go all the way to the end zone. He did the death crawl for 100 yards, not just 30 or 50, because of the encouragement that was in his ear. And there's a divine encourager on the inside of you and I. But I want to show you tonight this gift of encouragement from the Word, through the Word, because as we begin tonight in Acts chapter 4, and then down toward the end, verse 36 and 37. Let me read that, and then we'll talk further. It says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came to the island of Cyprus, and he sold a field he owned and bought the money to the apostles. What was going on there? The church had a logistical situation going on because, you know, at the outpouring of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got born again. And when you go from zero to 3,000, you're going to have some logistical problems that occur. Some of the 3,000 had everything they needed, and then many of the 3,000 didn't have a thing. They were in need. And just in walking in love, many of the brothers and sisters, as a result of motivated by love, they sold things that they had, gave the money to the apostles, and said, hey, go meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It was a powerful, beautiful demonstration of the love of God. And in the midst of that, one man came forth whose name was Joseph. And the scripture here tells us that he had a tract of land in Cyprus. Now that land, they say, in Cyprus, they say the mineral rights at that time to the land in Cyprus was full of copper. And copper was one of the most coveted commodities and minerals of the day, copper. even, we don't go there, but, you know, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9, God talking about the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He mentions it's a land filled with iron and copper because he knew the people would need that. They would need that mineral, that resource. And but Cyprus, they say at that time, was filled with copper. So the mineral rights alone meant this land was of huge value. And he took that tract of land of his own volition, sold it, bought all the money, and gave it to the apostles and said, just do whatever you need to meet the need. And that encouraged so many people. And apparently this man was always doing things that led to someone's encouragement. And the apostles, listen, they all nicknamed him. They gave him, his name was Joseph, and they gave him a nickname. What was his nickname? Barnabas. And what does that name mean? Son of encouragement. Think about that. The church family, he was always doing something encouraging. He was always releasing that gift. And the church family nicknamed him Son of Encouragement. Are you serious? And every place you see this man in Scripture, he's encouraging someone or some situation. And there's a powerful example for you and I to follow in his life. We go from Acts 4, follow me into Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You know Acts chapter 9. We're going to go down to 26. But Acts chapter 9 is where Saul is converted. Paul, his Gentile name. Saul, his Jewish name. But Paul is converted in Acts chapter 9. And then, you know, the Lord sends Ananias to get him filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth. And But after Paul, he had been the main prosecutor of the new church, of the new Christians. He had been the main prosecutor, persecutor of these Christians. Not only he was so vitriol in his hatred for the Christians, he not only wanted them out of Jerusalem, he was chasing them. He was hunting them down like dogs to drag them back. So some had gone out to through Samaria and Damascus, and he had orders to drag them back, put them on trial, and if necessary, kill them, as he had authorized that Stephen be killed in Acts chapter 7. And so then in Acts chapter 9, you know the story, he gets born again. But because of his vitriol to try to stop the church was very leery of him. And the scripture says he wanted to meet the apostles after he got born again, and they would not, in my vernacular, they would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. They were afraid. It's a trick. It's a ploy. He's not saved. He's not born again. And so we pick up here Acts chapter 9, verse 26 from the New Living. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. And they did not believe he had truly become a believer. And then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus, how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And so Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Did you see what just happened there? Not even the apostles. The believers wouldn't touch him when he got born again. He said, I'm a believer. They say, yeah, right. Yeah, right. You're saved. I'm an astronaut. No, they wouldn't believe. They would not believe that he was born again. The believers wouldn't believe him, and the apostles wouldn't believe him. Think about that. He can't convince any of the believers that he's gotten born again. But Barnabas comes alongside him. And Barnabas brings them to the believers, and Barnabas brings them to the apostles. And when they see Barnabas with him, they say, oh, Barnabas is vouching for him. He's born again. They immediately received him when they saw Barnabas with him. That must have been so encouraging to newly born again Paul. When you're frustrated, you're born again and people don't even, you know, people won't even believe that you're born again. People who are spiritual heavyweights don't believe you're born again. But one man comes alongside you to vouch for you, to stand with you, to say he's born again. He's legit. He's authentic. And when they saw Barnabas, they said, then he is born again. And they embraced him because Barnabas used the gift of encouragement. There are so many people lurking in shadows today. So many people hurting and in need of encouragement. Let's go on. We started in Acts 4. We went to Acts 9. Go with me to Acts chapter 11. We see every time we find this man Barnabas, he is associated with some type of encouragement to an individual or individuals. Here in Acts chapter 11, a phenomenon began to occur, and that is that Gentile believers, now first in the early church, first Jewish believers got born again in droves. They went from 3,000 to 5,000, and the church was multiplying quickly. But then a phenomenon began to occur because Gentile people began to get born again, and they got born again in droves. They were getting born again so quickly. And it was not clear to the new Jewish Christians who had been born again. It wasn't clear, do we need to convert them to Judaism and then to Christianity? And some of them were being made to follow the Mosaic law, and they weren't even sure that these new Gentiles are born again. They thought Jesus is talking about Jewish people. Get all the Jews converted around the world. They weren't even initially sure that he meant spread the gospel to the Gentiles as well. It's when you get to Acts 10 with Peter up in Cornelius' house where Peter realizes, oh, the Lord meant everybody. He meant evangelize the whole world. And so in that process, some of these new Gentile converts were looked at kind of skeptically. And so what happens is they send Barnabas up there to verify, did these people really get born again? They needed to send a heavy hitter up there to determine, are these new Gentiles really converts or not? And it's Barnabas, the man that they select. And what do you think he's going to do when he gets up there? You talk to me. He's going to encourage him. So let's pick up here, verse 11:22. We're in Acts 11:22. When the church at Jerusalem heard what happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. And he encouraged, you see it right there? He encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Yeah. When they needed someone to go and verify the authenticity that these Gentiles had gotten born again, they found a heavy hitter, somebody we can count on, somebody who will know if they're really born again. It was Barnabas. And when he got up there, he was so full of joy at what had happened and evidence of the Lord's hand and blessing upon these Gentiles. And what did he do? He encouraged them. That gift of encouragement came out of him. But then stay with me here in Acts 11. Let's read a little bit further at verse 25. Look what he does after that. It says, then Barnabas went out to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now, let me say this. Saul, no one could determine where he was at this point. Years had passed. After Saul, we're talking about Paul, after he got born again, there were so many death plots against him. He had to leave Jerusalem. Whatever home or housing he had there in Jerusalem, he had to give that up. He went back to his hometown in Tarsus. No one had heard from him. And some years had passed, and people weren't sure where he was, and you couldn't just go and Google, where is he? And so nobody knew where he was. But the scripture says here, 25, that Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. It says it in a way that he was bound and determined that he was going to find him. And he was going to make sure that he was doing all right. And look what he does, verse 26. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. That's the Gentile center of the church there. And both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. And it was at Antioch, the believers were first called Christians. So think about that. After Barnabas encourages the Gentile believers, he goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. He's looking for Paul, what we'd call Paul. And he looks till he finds him. He knew that Paul had a gift. And he knew that gift was needed in the church. And he stayed until he found him. And he brought him back to Antioch. And for a full year, he allowed Paul to employ his gift, teaching large numbers of believers. And it must have been so encouraging to the believers to get that kind of ministry, but to Paul to get that kind of encouragement. Because Barnabas was always encouraging someone. If we go from Acts 11, you can go with me to Acts 15. Acts 15, here we see another situation where Barnabas is associated with encouraging someone. And this is Paul and Barnabas are preparing to start their second missionary journey. And the scripture says, we're in Acts 15:36. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously had preached the word of the Lord and see how the new believers are doing." They had been out on the first missionary journey. They'd been out there for 2 years ministering together. They come back and report to the church what's going on around the world with the believers. And then at some point, Paul says to Barnabas, "Let's get back out there. Let's get back out on the road." And that's very agreeable to Barnabas. Look what happens next. We're in Acts 15:37. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia, had not continued with them in their work. And their disagreement was so sharp, they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. And then he traveled throughout Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. What just happened here? Paul and Barnabas have a split over a man named John Mark. This is really Barnabas's cousin. But what had happened is on the first missionary journey, and we don't have time to go back there, but I'll give you the scripture reference. You can read it if you want. In Acts chapter 13, verse 5, they go out on the first missionary journey. They're called out there by the Holy Ghost, Acts 13:1-4. The Holy Ghost says, "Separate from me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to do." They're sent out as missionaries by the Holy Ghost. When they get out there, verse 5, Acts 13, verse 5, says that they had a helper with them, John Mark. He was helping them. But it was what we call in Jersey rough sledding. Because people tried to stone them, people tried to kill them. And John Mark, he's just a helper. He ain't the main preacher or anything. But they're trying to stone. They try to stone Paul early in Acts 14. They do stone him later in Acts 14. They stone him, left him for dead. And he got back up, went to the next town, kept preaching, came back to the town where they stoned. He came right back to the town where they just stoned him. How many would have been on the first thing flying back to Tulsa? But anyway, but not Paul. He went right back to the town where they just stoned him. And so, listen, it was not an easy job being on his ministry team. I mean, you're talking about death and life going out on a mission trip with Paul. And so Acts 13:13 says John Mark left. It doesn't say why there, but he left. Right in the middle of the campaign, he left him. And here when we read what we read here in Acts 15:36-37, Paul's upset about it because now they're getting ready to go back on the road and Barnabas wants to go get John Mark and bring him with him. And Paul is saying, "No, that brother ain't going." And Barnabas is saying, "Yeah, he needs to go." And Paul is saying, "No, that brother ain't going. He left us in the work. He left us before in the work." And you can understand Paul's position. When you're the one getting stoned, when your life is on the line, you've got to have people you can count on. How many can understand that? But can you understand the other side of this coin? Where Barnabas says he needs another chance. Maybe the brother made a mistake, but the brother is in need of another chance. And just because he left the work the first time doesn't mean that God won't anoint and equip him for the work this time. Can you see that side of the argument? That people need another chance. And Barnabas was saying, "We need to take him. This brother needs to go. He needs another chance." So he left us. That's all right. That's all right. How many know God is the God, hey, of a second chance? Just because you've made a mistake, get back up, dust yourself off, because God will put you right back in service and he will turn your mess into your message. Brother won't get an amen teaching like that, but I only got a few minutes, so let me keep going. Let me try to find an amen somewhere in here. And so they argued about it and they decided to split company, split camp. And Paul took Silas and headed out on the missions trip. Who did Barnabas choose? John Mark. If you were John Mark, would you not have been encouraged for someone to take up for you like that? We all need somebody who will believe in us like that. We all need somebody who will every now and then come alongside and offer a word of encouragement. Someone who can just pat you on the back when things are down and say everything's going to be all right. We all need someone to say every now and then, "Get back up. You're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. And God is going to see you through." We all need someone to stand in support of us every now and then and say, "You're going to make it. Everything's all right. I believe in you." And just like we all need that, We all need to be that for someone else. This young man lives up in Chicago. He calls me Pops. I'm not his dad, but I operate like that in his life. He was my son Steven's best friend in high school, and his dad was never around. He asked me years and years ago. He was over at the house all the time. He said, "Mr. Ray, I don't have my dad. Can I call you Pops? I'm always over here. You're always encouraging me." I said, "Sure you can." And then I looked down at him, and I called him son, and I could see it just, oh, it just melted his heart. And I've called him son ever since then, and he calls me about once a month, once every 6 weeks, just checks in with me, lets me know how he's doing, asks me my advice on stuff. I talked to him last week. I've found a way to encourage and speak into his heart. And there's someone around you who needs that same encouragement, someone around you who needs you to be able to speak into their heart. Over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, if you will, real quick now. Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Later in Paul's life, he sees the value. He sees the need. He has long since learned the benefit of John Mark. And in Colossians 4:10, we can see his response about John Mark. He says, Paul writes this to the Colossians, "Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin." He's talking about the same man. "As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes to your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God. And what comfort they have been." Yeah. We can see here towards, as Paul is encouraging the Colossians, he speaks so highly of the same man. He didn't want to go on a mission trip that time. John Mark must have gone on to receive great instruction and encouragement, because he's the person who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And without someone encouraging him, we would not have the Gospel of Mark in our New Testament canon. We all need encouragement. I know our time has run out, my brother and sister. I have so many other scriptures I could share with you, but I'll just say this. As I started tonight, I showed you the video of the coach encouraging that football player, Brock. "You can make it. You can make it. You can make it." When Brock got tired, the coach was still in his ear. "You can make it. You can make it. You can make it." When Brock was ready to give up, the coach got down on his knees and crawled along with him. "You can make it. Don't give up." Brock was saying, "I'm in pain." The coach was saying, "Don't give up." Brock was saying, "I can't make it." The coach was saying, "Don't give up." And that encouragement in his ear walked him across that line. And when he unblindfolded him, as we saw, he was in the end zone. There's a divine encourager. He's not beside you tonight. If you're a believer, he's inside you. He's God the Holy Spirit. And he is a divine encourager. And if you read, we don't have any more time tonight, but if you'll read in the Passion Translation and go to John chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 7, you'll see the Holy Spirit in the Passion Translation. It's called a divine encourager. And on the inside of you and I, he's there to encourage. And sometimes people are not sensitive to his ministry because they let themselves get dominated with the wrong thoughts and wrong thinking. And wrong thinking will hinder the ministry and influence of the divine encourager on the inside of you. But just like that coach crawled there saying, "You can make it. You can do it. Come on. Don't give up. I'm with you. Don't give up. You're going to make it." The Holy Spirit's down on the inside of you. And if you're hurting not, he's saying, "Come on. Don't you give up. You're going to make it. Don't give up. You can get there. Don't give up. I'm restoring you. Don't give up. I'm the healer. Don't give up. I'm your encourager. I'm your strengthener. I'm your helper. I'm your standby. I'm your comforter. I'm your advocate. I'm your consoler. I'm your peace giver. I'm your guide. I'm your teacher. Don't give up." And if something has hurt you and if there hasn't been any encouragement for you, you remember there is a divine encourager on the inside of you. Be encouraged. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you so much, Father, for the reality of Scripture. And even, Father God, over in Acts 9:31, it says that the church grew and it thrived because it went on in the fear of the Lord. They stood in awe as they worshiped, and because there was great encouragement among them. And Father God, I thank you that you are our greatest encourager. You're a strengthener, but you're our encourager. And for that person who's hurting tonight, we pray that you'll encourage them not to give up. Sometimes people get so twisted in their thinking, they get over on the dark side of their thoughts and listening to the enemy. Someone wants to harm themselves because they've gotten so discouraged. If you're here tonight and you've been thinking, I'm just not going to make it. I'm just not going to make it. I just feel like I'm going to give up. I'm just ready to quit. I'm just ready to harm. I've been having thoughts of harming myself. I've just been having thoughts of checking out. I'm tired of living. Things have gotten so bad. Things have been so discouraging. Things have gotten so tough. I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I've just been ready to throw in the towel. Would you come down here real quick and let me pray for you? If you've been here and you're here and you've been thinking that, you've been thinking, man, I'm just ready to quit. I'm just ready to quit. Is anybody here like that? I want to pray for you real quick if you're here. You say, I don't want you to be embarrassed. You say, I've just been going through. I want you to slip out of your sleep. Come down here. God wants to help you. If you'll obey him, he'll touch you. He will touch you and heal you and heal your heart. Come on down here. Don't be embarrassed. You've been thinking, I just don't want to go on. I just want to throw in the towel. It's just time to quit. God is going to help you. God is going to help you. Just listen to him now. Don't be embarrassed. We're all family. We're here to encourage you. Nobody's going to judge you here. Nobody's going to judge you. Let him help you. Let him help you. God wants to encourage you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. God wants to see you through. There's somebody else in here. God, you know the Lord's talking to you. And if you'll obey him, let him help you tonight. You say, how do you know that? I can just sense that. There's somebody else in here. God wants to help you. God wants to see you through. If you'll just get up out of your seat and come on, let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Obey him. Obey him. That's right. That's right. Come on. Just come on. The altar's open. Just let him help you. That's right. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's right. We're a family. We're one family in God. He wants to help you. God is saying, I've heard your prayers. I see what you've been going through. I've heard your prayers. I see what you're going through. You've cried out to me. You've said, God, help me. God, don't you see me? God, won't you help me? God, I need you. And God has said, I want to help you right now. I'm going to help you right now. If you'll obey me, I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to help you right now. Oh, God wants to help you. God loves you. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. And can I tell you this? Psalm 56 verse 8 says, every tear you've cried, God's recorded it. He's recorded every single tear. God's counted every hair on your head. God knows how many steps you've taken today. And you haven't taken all your steps today. He is intimately acquainted with you. And he loves you so much. Down here at the altar, I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. Lift one hand to the Lord because you're not coming to a man. You're coming to God. The God of heaven is going to touch you right now. You're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to you. And oh, I know it's a long walk down here. But oh, God's going to touch you. God's going to bless you. God's going to help you. God's going to heal you. God's going to encourage you. God's going to strengthen you. God's going to forgive you. God's going to see you through. Oh, just let him touch you. Let him touch you right now. Saints, you're praying. 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 Oh, let the Lord touch you. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your encouragement, your peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. We command victory to come. We command every bad thought to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command every bad influence of the enemy to go in Jesus' name. In the mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, touch. Set free. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. Touch, Father. Touch her right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, thank you. May that thinking go in Jesus' name, and liberty, liberty and freedom, liberty and freedom in the name of Jesus, in the name of helping Father, in the name, in the mighty name, help him, encourage him in the mighty name of Jesus, in the name. In the name, we command that to go. In the name of Jesus, we command that to go. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Be free. Oh, in the glorious, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be strengthened. Be encouraged. Oh, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Be strengthened and healed and encouraged in the name of Jesus. Be strengthened. Healed, encouraged in the mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name, praise God. Be strengthened and encouraged. Be healed and encouraged in Jesus' name. Be strengthened, be encouraged. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn it around. Turn it around. He's the God of the turnaround. He's a turnaround God. 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 Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch her, Father God. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you for your power. Thank you. Thank you. Father, touch him right now. In the name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, turn it around. Turn it around for her. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. In that name, nothing's too difficult for you. Oh, touch him right now. Touch him right now. Oh, in Jesus' name. Touch her right now, Father God. In the mighty name, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet in the audience and let's worship God. Down here, let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord right here. Come on. Lift your hand to the Lord, and I want you to lift your voice. Lift your voice to him down here at the altar. Lift your voice. Come on. Bless his name. Come on. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Faith activates the power. Come on. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Faith activates the power. Faith activates the power. Lift your voice. Oh, Father, we bless you. We worship you. We honor you. We reverence you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Glory to God. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Listen. Sometimes you have to do things by faith, but when you start out according to the word and do them by faith and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, God will meet you right there. I said, I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. In a moment, I want to give you a chance to shout, to shout. I'm going to count to three. There's a Holy Ghost shout. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. A Holy Ghost shout is coming on. One, get ready for a Holy Ghost shout. Get ready. Get everything else out of your mind. Two, get ready for a Holy Ghost shout. Come on. Three, come on, shout to the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Let me just obey. Let me just obey what the Lord wants to do. I just feel a Holy Ghost dance coming on. I feel a Holy Ghost step. I feel a Holy... Sometimes when you start out in the natural, if you'll start out in the natural, you'll end up in the spirit. I just believe if you'll start out in the natural, just dance by faith. I'm going to count to three and just move something. Just move something in the name of the Lord. One, get every thought out of your mind. God is a good God. He's a healing God. He's a delivering God. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I said nothing's too hard for the Lord. He's the God of the turnaround. He can turn around just like that. Two, get ready. Two, get ready. Get ready. Because when I count to three, we're going to stand. Come on, three. Come on. Come on, let's dance in the Lord. Come on. Come on, move something. Come on. Come on, sis, move something. Come on. Come on now. Come on. 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 Move something. Come on. Come on. Come on, Ellen. Come on. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
I feel a Holy Ghost laugh coming on. I feel a Holy Ghost laugh coming on. I just want you to say, ha ha ha. Come on, somebody say, ha ha ha. Come on, somebody say, ha ha ha. I want somebody to say it with me. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Come on. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's dance. Shout. Let's sing. Come on. You can dance. You can shout. Hallelujah. You can laugh. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now somebody holler, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm not bound. I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Come on, hop, y'all. I'm free. 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 Come on. I'm free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And when the enemy comes to you, and he's going to come back, and he's going to show up in your thoughts, and he's going to tell you, you're not going to make it. I don't care what that preacher told you. You're not going to make it. It's not what the preacher's telling you. It's what the Word is telling you. Because God the Father authored the Word, and the Word says you are going to make it. The Word says you are blessed. On top, victorious, that you are free, free in your mind, free in your thoughts, free in your body. You're healed and whole. And when those thoughts come to you that you're not going to make it, that's when you just stand up and do a little jig and say, in the name of Jesus, you've got to go. Tell those thoughts, in the name of Jesus, you've got to go. Because I'm free. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm going to think thoughts of the Word. I'm going to think thoughts consistent with the Word. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to give all these a big hand as they go to their seats now. I want you to hold on to the victory. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Well, we had no idea we were going to do that. Praise God. But how many know it's good to follow the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again. We honor and bless you and reverence you for all of your goodness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You need something else. You want to be saved? You want prayer? Come on down here. Our prayer workers are coming down here, and they will pray with you. Guys go to the guys. Ladies go to the ladies. You won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Thank you for coming tonight. Remember to be praying for the Hagans. We'll see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you.